Shavua Tov, today's daf is daf Kuf Mem Hei. And so let us go back to discuss a little bit of where we were. We were at Kuf Mem Dalet on the base. We better adjust our watches.
Since I'm sorry, I'm bringing the chauffeur.
Yes, but how are we supposed to go into Shabbos without your Boker Or on our Shabbos?
Explain
that. Okay, remember that what we were talking about earlier was a very interesting distinction between a Ka'ara and a Kedera. Shmuel was quoted as saying that as long as you squeeze even an Eshko Shavanovim, which is the main srita, as long as you squeeze it into food, there's not a problem. Because then you're not really being mefarek, mashkin from Ochlin, because what came out ends up also being Ochlin. Now from that we concluded, in the concluding line on Friday, which is four lines up from the bottom of Kuf Mem Dalet Amud Beis, Alma Kasava Mashke Haba L'Toch Ochel, Ochel. So from there we see that the Svar of Shmuel is that, and Rav Chist extended this even into milking, you can milk into directly into a quiche, let's say, because that which is being mefurak has to be separate type of thing, has to be mashk as opposed to ochel. So in other words, what you're saying is that because the liquid is falling into an ochel, it's called ochel. And here is where we begin our new piece of Gemara. Masiv Rami Bachan. Zav shecholei v'ta'ez ha'cholav tameh. Now, if you have a person who is tameh because he's a zav. Now, if he's a zav, but remember that a zav is metameh also with heset, with moving something. So over here, when he moves the nipple as he's milking, he essentially is moving the stream of milk that's coming from the nipple, and therefore he is going to be metame it. Now notice that it does not make any distinction whatsoever here if he was milking into a container for milk or if he was milking into a kedera of food. So apparently it doesn't make any difference as far as the din of Tuma is concerned. So you'll say, what does this have to do with our sugya? I'll tell you very simply. Because amit mashke habala ochlin ochel, who, if you're going to tell me that a liquid that goes into a solid is considered to be foodstuff, it is not considered to be a mashke. So then how in the world was this food, which is the milk, which does not have a din of a liquid, how was this food mukhsha makabel tuma? If it's a liquid, then it's already makabel tuma. Of course, that is, it doesn't require hafsha. But over here, you're telling me it doesn't have a din of a liquid. If it doesn't have a din of a liquid, so then why is it makabel tuma without hafsha? Even if he's moving the liquid, what was mafsha? Answers the Gemara, that's not a problem. Because we know, as we had in the sugya about the woman, we've talked a little bit about the similar sugya, a woman who is dripping milk from her own nipples, and over there we say that it's miskasher betipah meluchlechet al pi hadad, that even though when a child, an infant, nurses, it has a din of oichun, not mashkin, because that's the food of the tinek, that's what he eats. So nonetheless, the milk is makabo hechsher because there's always a little bit of liquid that you want specifically on the nipple in order to make it easier to nurse, and that's a liquid. So that liquid now is machsher makabo tuma, the milk that comes out. Same thing is true over here in any mammal. If you're milking, you're interested in there being a little bit of liquid on the nipple, and that's therefore that's a liquid that will be machsher. Moshe Ravina, I have another question that is very similar to this. Again, you're claiming that Eichlin, that Mashkin HaBalatech Eichlin, have a din of Eichlin. Here it says like this, that if a Tomei mate was being Sochet Zeitin Va'anavim, and this is a Mishnah in Tyrus, and what we want to, we're talking about specifically over here, someone who would not be metame, the way the Zav is metame, he's metame not behesed, but he's metame bemarga. It doesn't necessarily have to be a tame mate, it could have been a tame sheretz as well, and so on. We're just going to extremes, and even a tame mate, which is an avatuma, and there's chomer, and so on and so forth, it's not as chomer as a Zav is in this issue, in that if he is squeezing zeitim v'anavim, and these Zeitim Vanavim are precisely one Beitza in size, then you don't have a problem of Tuma on the Mashkin that are Yotzim. Okay, now Rashi explains that even though the food itself, Zeitim Vanavim, are Tmeim, but the mashke that comes out won't be tame. Why? Because since it was a kibetza directly, the moment that you squeeze it, you make it somewhat less than a kibetza. Less than a kibetza of Eichlin, even though it can be mekabel tuma, according to Rashi Shita, it can't be metame achel. Therefore, the juice that comes out of these zeitim v'anavim will not be tummy, because it's not touching, doesn't come in contact with an ochel, which is the shear of a kibetza. Now, Tosus, we talked about this many, many times. Tosus brings many riyas that this is not true, and they're not gemina between parchus and kibetza. Yes, and kibetza legabe being makabel tumah, being matame is an artificial distinction. It's not matame, but parchus mikazayas. He says over here, the reason that a Beitza Mechovenet is Tahor is because at the moment that the Ochlin would be Mukhshel Kabel Tuma, that's how the Sugya comes out over there. You have to squeeze a little bit in order to get it Mukhshel Kabel Tuma from its own juice, because no Mashka touched the top of the grape or the top of the olive. But the moment that you squeeze it to get the juice out, the juice that would be Mukhshel it is now going to be Mukhshel less than a Kabeitza. Therefore, will not be Mekabel Tumah, because only Kibetz is Mekabel Tumah. That's Tosfos Shita. Okay, two different approaches as to what the problem is in the Pachos Mekabetza, where you had exactly Kibetz, now it becomes a Pachos Mekabetza. But, clearly, I mean, that doesn't concern us, says the one. What concerns us is the implication. The implication is that HaKibetza, once you're talking about squeezing a Kibetza worth of olives, so then, you have a problem of tame. Since again, you don't distinguish between squeezing into a container which is going to hold the liquid, or squeezing into something which has Eichlin in it, or is meant for Eichlin according to other shitas. Apparently it doesn't make any nafkamina. But according to what Rav Chisda said, and according to what Shmuel was quoted as saying, the moment that you squeeze something, and the classic example we had was squeezing lemon into fish on Shabbos, that the liquid does not have a din of a liquid. It has a din of a solid, and therefore there's no issur in squeezing. But if it has a din of a solid, so then I don't understand. What was the hechsher? Because if I'm squeezing the olive in order to put oil into my salads, and there should be no action. Because it's Erkler, it's not Mashkin. How do you explain that? No, what can I tell you? Look, I mean, who said it's talking about that case? It's not talking about that case. It's talking about just plain squeezing. I mean, the Mishnah over there wasn't interested in telling you all the prata dinin, the tocha kara, the tocha gedera. It meant, obviously, you're supposed to use your own brains to figure out that the issue over there is an issue of hechsher, and not actually have the sheer fracture. And I'm fine. So say that the case over there is that indeed you're squeezing it into a container of liquid, and therefore there's no problem of Ochel HaBalatocho. Om Reb Yirmiyah, I believe, says Reb Yirmiyah, that actually this whole thing about whether Mashkin had fallen into Ochel, have a din of Ochel, is a machlokas tanoim. I'll bring you a raya. It says like this. A machalik ba'anavim lo ruchshar. Somebody's baking challah, and what he does is he takes some grapes in order to get a shine on this cake that he's baking over here. He squeezes the olives on top of the bread, the type of thing that we do with betzim.
Anavim?
Yeah. What did I say? I meant grapes. He squeezes the grapes on top of the bread. Not bread, because it's with made peirot, but a glaze. He makes a glaze the same way you make a glaze with egg and so on. You make a glaze by squeezing out some grapes directly onto the bread. So it says over there, lo huchshar, that the cake is not mukshar. Why not? L'chaira, because it's not a liquid. But it's going onto the top of a salad. Where's Rabbi Yehuda Omer Huchshar? So my love, welcome to Mifugay. Apparently, this is the machlokas. Mar Savar Mashke Abal Ochel Ochel. So the Tana Kama, who says that the cake is not Huchshar L'kabel Tuma, he's talking about the wine or the grape juice that you squeezed out that is being falling directly on top of a solid. It doesn't have a din of a liquid, therefore it's not machshel kabel tuma. Umar Sava Reb Yudis, who says that it is machshel kabel tuma, that Mandi Omar holds that lav ochel, it's not considered to be an ochel, it's a mashke, and therefore it's going to be makabel tuma.
Also, machshel kabel tuma is only for fruits and vegetables.
Flour is not gedulei karka.
A loaf of bread needs
Well, normally a loaf of bread is mixed with water, but flour, if you mix it with apple juice or something like that, it won't be makabel tuma. So the halacha, as says the Gemara, not necessarily. Omer afapa de kulei ama mashka b'lo ochel lav ochel. Yeah, I can tell you not like that. I could tell you that possibly everybody would agree that if you would have put the juice into a solid, it's still considered to be a juice. You know why over here the Tana Kama says it's not Hukshar? It's because it's going into the oven. The stuff is hot. So if you squeeze the grapes over it, what happens to the juice? It evaporates. If it evaporates, it's not considered to be Bechlal Mashkin. It's Hilchon Le'ibud. Hofer B'Mashkeh. Habala ibud kamich. My focus over here is not about coming into a solid. It's about where it doesn't have any kiyum, because now I squeezed it in a way that basically it's just going to evaporate. The same thing as squeezing it onto the ground, as I said before. Mar sever lav mashko. And I know that that's in my focus because it's the same my focus down in Tanoi. The Tanya, we have the question in a brighter. If somebody was mifatseya zeitim biyadayim misoavot, he goes ahead and he squeezes now an olive with his hands not having been washed. So therefore they have a din now v'sheni. So it says over there that these olives are now going to be... Oh, thank you. If you're going to eat these olives, we are talking about olives. I'm sorry. So then, hukshar, they are now hukshar l'kabel tuma, but l'softan b'melach lo hukshar. If all you want to do is you want to get the olives a little bit damp, in order to dip them into salt, because otherwise the salt won't stick. So what's the point? So you get them a little damp, and now you put them into the salt. That's not considered to be hukshar. And leidai min yuzei tevlim sokim lav lo hukshar. Rebbe Yehuda Omer hukshar. And if you squeeze the olive in order to know whether they're ripe enough to reach the stage of nesika, so then The Tanna Kamma says they are Ruksha. Rabbi Yehuda, they're not Ruksha. Rabbi Yehuda says they are Ruksha. So again, what do you think they're arguing over here? They're arguing. Mar Savar, apparently, Mashka Omid Leibud Mashkehu. Rabbi Yehuda says it's Ruksha. It's exactly the thing that I'm telling you they've been arguing in the case before also. That if it's going to drip away, which is the case over here, you squeezed it and it's not going to just drip away, but you needed to squeeze it because you wanted to know how ripe it was. But nonetheless, it's considered to be mashke, therefore it's machsher. Well, mashsher, but mashke, there you go. That's the machlokas, but not the machlokas that has to do necessarily with Shmuel's assertion that if you take your lemon and you put it on top of some fish, that it's not considered to be mashke. You want to just... They played with the timer. I went back on it. They played with the Shabbos clock, apparently. Go in there. No, they just turned it back on again. The crisis. What's wrong now? Hello?
Hey, they're working on it. They're right here.
So therefore what we're talking about over here is a completely different machlokas about whether it's halach l'ibud or not. Says the Gemara, wait a minute. Omer Avuna Breder of Yeshua, I certainly agree that the case over here, somebody squishes an olive to know whether it's ripe enough, that's certainly the machlokas is in terms of halach l'ibud. I don't see how by any stretch of the imagination you could say that squeezing grapes on top of the dough here that's baking is called halach l'ibud. It's certainly not going to waste. It's creating a glaze. Why is creating a glaze called going to waste? That's not similar to this case. I think there's two separate issues over here. There's two separate machlokas where I would agree with you that hanetanoi b'mashka omid l'ibud pligi. I would say that even if you want to avoid the connotations Lagabi Shmuel and say that maybe this is not Nogea, the question on Shabbos of the lemon into the fish, there still may be a machlokas about Mashke HaOmed Litzach Tzichot. What is the state of Mashkin that are perhaps not Holech Be'ibud, but also are not going to be used directly as a foodstuff at all? And they're just simply there in order to shine it up. That's a different question. So there's a shaila whether that's considered to be a mashke. It's not considered to be a mashke. But maybe ain't a chinami to have a mashke inside of an ochlin to make it moist and so on. Maybe that's a mashke. It could be. Omer Bizera, Omer Priyabarashi, Omer Rav, Socheit Adam Meshko Shel Anavim Latocha Kideira, Avalo Latocha Kiara. Now this is Rav being quoted to say essentially what Shmuel was quoted as saying before, correct? That it's okay to squeeze into food as long as you don't squeeze into a container used for liquids. V'dag Litziro Afil Latocha Kiara. If you want to take a fish and squeeze out the fish in order to get fish juice to dip in, you could do that even into a container of liquid, and that would not be a problem, because that's not called mashke. That's called a food. It's a type of food. It's not called a mashke. It's not a drink.
Ready?
Yes, sir?
Is it possible, I thought from yesterday's show, that day or 2 days ago, Deira was a cooking pot and Kara was a serving dish. Not specifically,
but
just meant for eating.
Yes, we discussed this. Either you were in here or you were in a war again. But all right, since you bring it up, I'm willing to rediscuss it briefly. It was an implication in Rashi. It clearly wasn't from the Shir. It was from your looking into Rashi right now. in which, in order to avoid being insulting, you said from yesterday's shir.
No, I read the discussion from yesterday or the day before that.
I know that. That's what I just said. Now warps all over the place. A little time warps and eddies in time all over. But again, although the mashmaut in Rashi is that it's a function of the kli, as we mentioned before, most Rishonim hold the issue of yours, whether it is directly into foodstuff or not. The nafkamina between kedera and kara is not whether it's normally used for liquid or used for solid, but whether there's liquid in there or solid in there. That's the difference between them. However, there are some who hold that it's the intent that's important. Words, if I'm putting into something in which there will be food, on which I intend to pour it into food, so that's also considered to be not for mashke. If I'm putting into something which is used for mashke, so then it's considered to be mashke. However, we're not mekel. There are rishonim, actually, that are mekel ad kdei kach lahalacha. We basically are matir. The sheet over here of Shmuel and of Rav that we just quoted to allow us to squeeze lemon into a fish. However, as we'll see, there's a sheet of Rabbi Yochanan who argues. There is a Rabbeinu Hananel on our daf, which we'll discuss, who passes like Rabbi Yochanan. And because of that, even the later poskim in the Ramah, the Shabur, and so on, say, if you want to be cheshish for the Rabbeinu Hananel, who passes like Rabbi Yochanan, tavo alav beracha, and not to be soched even in that fashion. Fine. In any event, getting back to our circuit. So, furthermore, this is now a new chiddush. We've spoken about a case of squeezing even zeitim vanavim, forget about lemons, even zeitim vanavim, which is a fundamental use for squeezing. It's the ikar schita, as we'll see. So even that's okay into a foodstuff. Then we add Rav Chista's extension of that din of milking into a foodstuff. And then we have now a new halacha that Rav said, a different point, which is, if the thing that you're squeezing, what you're squeezing is itself used as a food, because it's always basically a dip. It's not something that you would drink. You don't drink fish juice. You dip your bread into it when you're eating with a salad or so on. So there, it's considered to be a foodstuff ipso facto, in which case you never took the liquid out. You took food from food. That's called uchla de ifrat. You can always separate one type of fish from another type of fish. That's all that you're doing. Therefore, Taina's Rav, you can even squeeze a fish into a bowl. Okay, comes along now Abaye, because it was Radimi who said, yes, Radimi, Radimi said this over, and quoted Rav. So Abaye said to Radimi, oh my God, Aton Mishmeh Rav Matini Tuvel Kashelechu. You know, you guys keep life simple, what can I tell you? You quoted the name of Rav, so you don't have any problems. You know, but I heard it over the name of Shmuel, and that's tremendous problems. I got a serious problem with this issue. If Shmuel is saying it's okay to squeeze out a fish, right? Because ni amar Shmuel dog with siro afilu toch hakiara. This is my problem. Assuming that Shmuel had actually said this, that a dog is allowed to be squeezed out because it's used as a dip. So then, how do you explain the fact that in a machlokas about Shmuel, aitma? Kivashim shesachatan. You have pickled vegetables. Now these pickled vegetables have been sitting there in their vinegar, salt, water, and so on. In order to eat them, you want to squeeze, oftentimes you get a pickle that's got way too much pickle juice in it. You squeeze out the pickle before in order to dry out the pickle. You don't want a lot of juice on your sandwich.
Get it all in your eye.
Oh, inevitably. So you squeeze it out. So Amar Rav, legufan, if all you're interested in doing is having a drier pickle, so then that's mutar. But limeimehen, if you are interested in getting pickle juice, then it's potter, aval asur. You're not allowed to do it lechatchila, but it's not considered to be an iser d'oraisa. Why is it not considered to be an Isser D'Oraisa, says Rashi? Because, and this, remember we discussed this in terms of the reed earlier, because the water that comes out of the pickle is not really from the pickle. It's basically water that has come from your pouring in salt water into a vegetable, and therefore removing that salt water from the vegetable cannot be called mefarek. We answer it because of its similarity to squeezing out a pri, and so mamela will only be asur min rabbanan. That's Rashi's approach. There are other approaches. So that pickle juice is not juice. Mm-hmm. Now, shlakot, if you're talking, this is about kvashim. If you're talking about shlakot,
don't they have their own natural juice?
Yeah, but essentially that's all now mixed in with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but so one is...
So it's a bottle already, it's all of this stuff. Now, shlakot, on the other hand, if you've got a stew, sometimes the things in the stew, whether it's the potatoes or it's the meat or whatever it is, they are a little bit too moist. You dry them out, you squeeze them, you get out some of the... You're on a diet, you know. If you're on a diet, you don't necessarily want all of that oily stuff in the meat. You squeeze the meat. Or you squeeze the potato. Some people take a little bit of paper and they absorb all the oil into it, you know. That way they can eat the donut and feel okay about it, you know. Sure. Yeah. So there, if you squeeze out shlakot, the truth is that you're not squeezing out anything but food, because once it's all a stew, then even the liquid part of the stew is food. It's not liquid. It's the same as we were saying before about the fish juice, right?
It didn't come from.
But no, that's not the point. I don't care where it came from. I care what it is. It's food now.
It consists of food.
I don't care if it has liquid. The definition of mashke and ochel is not liquid and solid. Because the liquid that a baby is drinking is called food, not it's called ochel, not mashkin.
So fruit
right?
soup, as
a no. Fruit soup doesn't count. V'shmuel amar. My problem is Shmuel says, echad kvashim, v'echad shlakot legufa mutar lemimeim patur. Now hold on a minute. If Shmuel just said you could squeeze out a fish, right? Then that means that he's saying that something that is eaten, even though it's a liquid, is a food. And yet here he comes around, and he's talking about a stew, and he's saying, I don't care if it is a stew. If you squeeze it out, you're squeezing out a liquid. You're not squeezing, essentially, another foodstuff from a foodstuff. So I had a serious problem with this, says Abaye to Reb Dimi, because if Shmuel was the one, and that's how I was quoted it, the thing about the fish from Shmuel, then I've got a contradiction in Shmuel because I don't see how to distinguish between a fish and a stew. You say it over in the name of Rav, so to you, life is simple. Amarle Elohim, I swear to God, Einai ra'u v'lo zar. It was my own eyes that saw this. I know that it was Rav, okay? I wasn't throwing it around loosely to make life easier. Mipume de Reb Yirmiyah Shmieli. I heard it directly from Reb Yirmiyah. Reb Yirmiyah heard it directly from Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira heard it directly from Reb Chiya Barashi. Reb Chiya Barashi heard it directly from Rab. And there ain't no game of telephone here, because each one was absolutely clear about what they had heard it. And therefore, you can rely on it, man, and not have any problems.
They just play telephone, it's a slow voice machine.
Mm-hmm.
Six people totally piled up.
Now, what's amazing about this, because you asked it, anything that you will ask is by definition different.
I think we've actually been speechless. I've never seen
this. Now, we'll let him cry it out for a while, then we'll not talk about
it. I resemble that remark. Can you use a paper for the oil?
So now, I just want to point out an amazing, amazing thing, that this Gemara has just answered something that Mamish bothered me for so many years. I never had a pshat of it. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Bnei Yisrael, he says, Lo es aviseichem, etc., etc., elatem, you yourself saw all of the things of the Nisan HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All of you are chayim. They were all dead. He stopped the two people and the women. The only ones that were alive. So he's saying, Eineichem ra'oz. What do you mean? We didn't see nothing. So what's this Eineichem? This is Mamish, this Gemara. He says, I swear to God, Einai, quotes the pasuk, Einai ra'u v'lo zar. My own eyes saw it. And then he says, Rabbi Yirmiyah, and Rabbi Yirmiyah heard it from Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Zeir heard it from Rabbi Chiya heard it. No question about it, I saw it with my own eyes. It's unbelievable. And the Pella is, you'll notice that there was a Girsa here that was taken out in other Tfusim of the Gemara. The end of the Pasuk is a fantastic insight into this whole process. The end of the pasuk indeed says "Kolu chiliotai b'cheki," which means my guts have absorbed this in my very innards. So, in other words, what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them is, "Look, this wasn't some kind of distant forefathers, which we have vague rumors of something happening, an ancient tradition among our people. Cut out the garbage. You know precisely who had seen it, and all the other people that were there that had seen it with them. You met thousands of people that told you precisely what they had seen, and you could trace it back exactly in detail. That's not called my forefathers gave over to me. That's called I know it. In exactly the same way, you have absolutely no problems with Washington's birthday. There was a guy named Washington. Never occurs to you to say it's an ancient tradition. There was a guy called George Washington. Get out of here. And that's exactly what Moshe is saying. And I wrote, Velozo, this is some kind of weird. I heard rumors. Shmuel said it. Rob said it. I could tell you exactly the entire history of this mimer. I know every person that it went through. And don't give me that. That's Enai Rahu Velozar. When you absorb it into your insides and it's as clear to you as your own fingers, then that's Enai Rahu Velozar. That's exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling you. Kvoshim shesachatan omar rav legufan mutar l'rimeyim patura v'lasur. So let's take a look now at the different shitas. Squeezing pickles. Okay, Rob says, if you squeeze pickles because you want a drier pickle, that's completely mutter. If you want to squeeze pickles because you want to have some pickle juice, then it's potter, but it's usher because it's similar to mefaret. Shlakot, if you want to squeeze a stew, so then bein legufan, bein lemeyem, it's mutter even lechatchila. And that includes the famous fish. Shmuel Omar, Shmuel says, even a stew can't be lechatchila squeezed if what you want is the juice. If what you want is to make the stew or the pickle drier, then it would be mutter lechatchila. But otherwise, although it's not an issue of the oraisa, the rabbanan asur because of its similarity to shechita. Rabbi Yochanan says, Echad kvashim v'yachad shlokot, I agree with you guys that it's mutter. But I disagree with both of you in that I say, you squeeze a pickle for pickle juice, or you squeeze a stew for the liquid to dip your gravy in, I don't care. In either case, you would be chayav achatas. It's not just that it's issur d'rabbanan. I disagree with this idea of the only chayav achatas being if the liquid is in there on its own naturally, and I disagree with the idea that something that's meant as a foodstuff is considered to be not a liquid. It's pure liquid as far as I'm concerned, and that's the important nekuda in shechita, not usage. And therefore, you would be chayav chatas. Now, Now we have a three-way mafokas. And let's just, again, clarify. Everybody has agreed that when it comes to zeitim va'anavim, ooh, that's bad news. You squeezed out zeitim va'anavim. That is a classic case of nefarek, because you've got separate liquid, separate solid inside those things. It's the derech to squeeze them. It's the norm. And therefore, what you're doing is essentially a disha. If you would do that, you would be chayav achatas if you thought it was mut. That we're all agreed on. Now, we have other cases. We have, of course, our cases of the other fruit and so on, which we talked about, the quinces and all of those things. But in our Gemara today, the other cases that we have is where you're squeezing something, where the liquid came into that thing from some external source, but it's not part of its own natural liquid. So that would be the case of squeezing out pickles. Over there, you wouldn't be chayav, but you would be usher, because it looks similar to squeezing out wine and oil. Then we have another case in which the reason that you're squeezing is because you want gravy, but the gravy that you're getting out of, the fish brine that you're getting out, is going to be used as a foodstuff. There we have a machlokas. Rav says it's mutter. Shmuel says it's putter. Rabbi Yochanan says it's chayav chatas. Then we have a case where you have no intention before. You don't want the juice at all. All you want is to make it drier. So over there, Rav, Shmuel all say that it's mutter to do, l'chatchila, and even Rabbi Yochanan goes along with that.
That's the gufan.
Is mutar. Now, the problem is that we came up with a braita that seems to run against every last one of these three shitot. Look what the braita says over here. So, chatim kivashim b'shabbat tzorach ha-shabbat, avololam otzei shabbat. You can squeeze your pickles on Shabbos if you're doing it for the purpose of Shabbos, but not if you're doing it for the purpose of Motzei Shabbos. But zeitim va'anavim, you cannot be sochet. Ve'im sachat, chayav chatat, no matter what, we don't care. And this, says the Gemara, is kasha to everybody. This is against everything that we said before, because when it says sochatin kvashim over here, it doesn't make any distinction between whether it's lagufan or whether it's lamimeyam. It says over here it's mutter lachatchila as long as it's not from Mitzvah Shabbos. So it's not the only problem over here is the problem of hachana from Shabbat to Chol. No problem of squeezing out. Even kvashim, nobody was mutter lachatchila to squeeze out the pickle juice if what you're interested in is the pickle juice. So that means that there's not one sheet that this is going according to. So Kashla Rav, Kashla Shmo, Kashla Rav Yochanan, makes sense according to nobody. So Rav metarts the Tameh, Shmo metarts the Tameh, and Rav Yochanan metarts the Tameh. Everybody's got their own approach to this. Rav is metarts the Tameh. He says, okay, it means like this. Sochatim bekvashim on Shabbat, you can take your pickles, the Tzorcha Shabbos, not the Matzah. However, you need to insert over here the obvious caveat, which is Bamed Varim Amurim Legufam. This is only if all you want is a drier pickle. Avolimei Mayhem. If you instead wanted the juice, my mommy gave me a nickel, then you would be putter. But it still has it to do. Ushlakot. The part about the shlakot, now that would be okay, bein the gufan, bein the mimeihem, and zeitim v'anavim, lo yitzchot v'imsachton chayav chatas. Fine. See? Perfect price. It works out great according to me. Told you. A few extra words here and there, you know. Shmuel is v'taritz l'taybei. He says, sochatin kvashim b'shabbat v'tzorach ha-shabbat. Same thing is true about shlakot. And the same caveat of Bamed Varmamurim appears in both cases. Bamed Varmamurim Gufam, Avala Mimeyem Patur Avala Sur, Zeitim Anavim Lo Yitzchot, Vim Zachat Chayav Chatat. And so, a little bit of fast and free dancing with the words, and you can make it all work out. Well, what's Rabbi Yochanan going to do? Because Rabbi Yochanan's got a problem. Since the Brayta over here contrasts the Shlokim and Shlokos and the Kvashim with Zeitim v'Anavim, and according to Rabbi Yochanan, there is no such contrast, because he holds you'd be Chayav v'Chatos, even on the Shlokot and Kvashim, if what you're interested in is the Jews, he is going to have a harder time, isn't he, Richie, to try to work this Brayta out. You wouldn't want to be in Rabbi Yochanan's shoes right now, would you? Well, maybe
he takes a nap every once in a while
before
he.
He always had his eyes closed.
That's right. He's going to be taking a nap right here on his daf and on the base, right in the middle of the shiur. So you wouldn't mind being with him. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan has to do one additional thing that Rav and Shmuel didn't have to do, and he says is like this. Sochatin kvashim etzorach ha-shabbat avalolo matzei shabbat echad kvashim ve'echad shlakot. Of course we have to insert the same words that Shmuel did, but medvarim amurim legufan avalo me'meyem lo yisfot. Now here's where I'm going to do my little thing. Ve'im sachat, it's just as bad as zeitim v'anavim and your chayav katat. That's what it means, not zeitim v'anavim, your chayav katat. It means you might as well be squeezing Zeitim v'Anavim, because you'll be Chayav HaKatan. So it's Nase, Kemisha Zachat, Zeitim v'Anavim, v'Chayav HaKatan.
What's the difference?
What's the difference between what and what? Do you know?
Language.
Do you know? If you don't know.
Then I thought you said the exact same thing.
Ah, you thought, but you were wrong.
I'm just afraid you're going to nail me on something.
I nailed you already. I nailed you right in that bowl of fruit juice.
Back to my fruit.
Your fruit soup. It's right in the middle of the fruit soup. There you go. Does that fruit soup have wine in it? Not necessarily. Does that have oil in it? Not necessarily. So there's no Zeitim v'Anavim. That answers your question. Omer b'chia b'ashi omara. Dvar Torah, we'll get to it. Eino chayav ela al drisat zeitim v'anavim bilvad. The Torah asked squeezing out. The only type of squeezing it asked is what is the derech, the squeeze of something which is called separate liquid, that zeitim v'anavim. V'chein tani de v'menashe, Dvar Torah eino chayav ela al drisat zeitim v'anavim bilvad. Okay, now here again, Rabbi Yochanan, who says over here that you would be chayev chatas, apparently would argue about the fish as well, because we said it all through the sugya that shlakot and fish are basically the same thing, and says the Rabbeinu Chanan, since we pasken like Rabbi Yochanan keneged Rav, and we pasken like Rabbi Yochanan keneged Shmuel, the halacha over here is Rabbi Yochanan, which would aser all of our kulas over here that we've been basically relying on. Is according to him, you couldn't squeeze your lemon into the fish either, because he doesn't believe in this distinction between things that are going into Ochlin or have a shame of Ochlin and so on and so forth. And this is how the Rabbeinu Chanan paskin. Now the way out of the Rav Shmuel connected with Yochanan is that since over here both Rav and Shmuel are quoted, they become a Rabbin Keneged Rabbi Yochanan, which is what all the other places can follow. Not like Rabbeinu Chanan. And show that we do not paskin indeed like Rabbi Yochanan over here. Furthermore, the Rabbeinu Tam takes exception to the question of whether Rabbi Yochanan, even if we would paskin like him, would have disagreed about Mashkin Habolotoch Oakley. That doesn't necessarily follow. These cases are much bigger kedushin than Mashkin Abba L'Tochochon. He might have agreed about the Mashkin Abba L'Tochochon. We got a doctor, Andy Rich, for blood pressure, heart problems, so, or any bleeding from the wound.
Could,
but the Hotzig has been comparing them. That's why we asked the Kashit, it's difficult. There are those, there are those who talk about the fish. The question whether the fish, Bichlal, was talking about the fish's own juice, or fish that you had stored the fish in, and so on. There's also Machlokas. The Ben Yerucham learns it's talking about the fish's own juice. It's the same as the Shlokot anyway. But in any event, as I mentioned to you, those who want to be machmer, I'll leave the Rabbeinu Hanan, Bas, and Sagrav Yochanan, have here al mili smoke to be machmer, you know. So, that basically concludes our circuit. We now get into the next piece, which Rav Chiya Farashi also quoted Rav as saying, that ein eid mipi eid kasher, ela le'edut isha bilvad. The only time that we accept hearsay testimony, in which somebody says, I heard from somebody else, is where, it's interesting, it's on this page, which is a Naira Uvalozan, which is where we're being matir, a woman, to remarry because of the loss of her husband. So if somebody comes and said, I heard that your husband drowned in such and such a place, over there, even though he is Eid Mipi Eid, we're matir, the woman, on that base. That's all sugya that we had in Yevamot. Mivoyevel, Eid Mipi Eid le'edut b'chor mahu. You know that in this room there's a lot of Kohanim. We've all met those Kohanim, and we know how trustworthy they are, don't we? We know that if they presented a b'chor and claimed that this b'chor had a mum on it, and that, of course, the mum was there when they got it, had nothing to do with them, of course, you know whether you believe them or not. And so, because of that, the Chachamim made a gezeira, don't believe Kohanim when it comes to mumin on a b'chor. They play a little bit too easy on that subject. You need to have witnesses. And so my question is, if I have a witness who was an Eid Mipi Eid, who said that he saw this b'chor had a mum on it, a mum fall, not because of something Kohen did, would that be acceptable? Or you need really an Eid who saw it himself? Rabbani Asar, and Rabasi is Matir. Says Rabbani to Rabasi, look, didn't we just learn, it says the only time we'll accept hearsay testimony is when it comes to a woman who's in a real pickle. She's going to live the rest of her life being unable to get married because her husband sunk on some submarine somewhere, and there's always the one chance out of a million that he's being held in some Arab prison. I mean, that's ridiculous. A guy says he saw him sink. None. So, okay, there we were matir. But a b'chor? Why would we be matir a b'chor? It says only latest Isha. Answers, Ravasi, you misunderstood what it said. Ema le'edut Isha k'sheirala. Not edut Isha, to be matir a woman, but rather any testimony which we accept from a woman, which is true about edut Isha as well, by the way. We do accept the testimony of a woman who said, I saw this guy being shot or whatever, and then another woman can get married on that basis. But Isha is kshera for any place where an Eid Echad is kosher. Since we were Makabal, I do it by a Bukhar, if a woman would testify. So there's no nafkamina between that and hearsay testimony. Rav Yemar was Makshar Eid Mipi Eid LeBukhar. Oh, Mar Yemar didn't like that one little bit. And he, even though his name was too close, didn't mind risking it by calling Rav Yemar, Yemar Shori Bukhra. Good old Yemar, the guy who's Matir Bukhoros all the time. Ve'okasa Eimi Pi'et Kosh L'Bukhor. Nonetheless, that's how we paskin. You can be Matir Bukhor Ve'Eimi Pi'et. Chalot Dvash, next case we had in the Mishnah, was the Bachlokas. Take a look for a moment back in the Mishnah between Rav Eliezer and the Tanakhama, where it says over there, if you ground up the chalot dvash before Shabbat, and they now continue to leak out, the Tanakhama says it's osur again, according to him, it's similar to the case of the peiros that leaked out on their own. Whereas Rebbe Eliezer is matir, because their gozer, because of the possibility of you're confusing it, are the same as we had with the peirot. We're afraid that you'll be merasik if we allowed you to take it out of the merusakim. As Rabbi Eliezer says, it's not a chashash. It'll be merasik. It was merasik before Shabbat. Therefore, we don't have to worry. Now, Kiyata Ravosha Minarada, when Ravosha came for Narada, he came along carrying a new brayta. Atavaiti matanita v'yade, zeitiv v'adavin, shirizkan me'erev Shabbat. If you have now the same situation with Zeitim Vanavim, You grind them up completely from Erev Shabbos, and they leak out on Shabbos. They're also, according to the Tanna Kamma, and Rebbe Eliezer, ooh, and he adds Rebbe Shimon. The Mishnah was just Rebbe Eliezer. He adds Rebbe Shimon. Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe Shimon, Matirin. Rebbe Yosef. All of that, just to add another name, Gabra Yitera Atalashmin, what, he had to come from Narda carrying this Braita. I mean, this is a heavy Braita, man. So he came carrying this Braita to add Rebbe Shimon's name to Rebbe Eliezer. The Mishnah was Rebbe Eliezer, he's adding Rebbe Shimon. Rebbe Yosef, man, that's all. It says, Abaya, Tuba come by. What are you talking about? There's a tremendous chiddush over here. You would have read the Mishnah. You would have said, there's a big difference between honey and zeitin v'anavim. Because Abba, mina hatam u'demikar u'chla besof u'chla. Honey is never a mashke. It has a din of a mashke, like Abba, tuma v'tayra perhaps. But you don't drink honey. You dip in honey. I mean, it's right around the corner. So, if you dip in honey, then it should have a din of an eichlin. So it has a din like eichlin mitaych eichlin. I mean, maybe over there, where you've got honey in a honeycomb, and now you grind up the honeycomb, so now you have liquid honey, but it's still eichlin. So maybe over there, Rebbe Eliezer is not marked. Over there, you're starting with grapes and olives, which are not liquid. In the end, you have a liquid. Malone, maybe there, even Rebbe Eliezer would have been made a kamashmalan, that in that case, Rebbe Eliezer also argues on Tanakh. That's what all you saw in the Braita, was one additional name of Rebbe Shimon. Go ahead. Kol Shabbat b'chamim erev Shabbat, sholin otav b'chamim b'Shabbat. וכל שלא בא בחמים מערב שבת, מדיחין אותו בחמים בשבת, חוץ מן המליח הישן וקויס ההיספני. As we've discussed many times before, something which was cooked before Shabbos, you can read on Shabbos, but something which was not cooked on Shabbos, you can pour some warm water over it, but you can't actually recook it on Shabbos, but you can't let it soak in boiling hot water. The only thing that you can't even pour warm water over is like little herrings or a kuyas ha'ispan. And over there, the way in which you make it roi lachila is by that last wash. The wash takes off the additional salt and puts it right over the edge, making it roi lachila, and that is its bishul. Shahadachatan izohi yamar malachatan. That's the way to finish it off. Now, there are some, by the way, who want to say Hadachatan Igmar Malachtan. Hadachatan Igmar Malachtan would be true even with cold water. Because if that's the final thing, then it's Makab Apatish. Forget about Bishul. Remember, we talked before, there are many Rishonim who say there is no Makab Apatish on anything but rich, I mean on anything but non-foodstuffs.
No, I see.
Non-foodstuffs. But you can't be chayef for makke b'patish on a foodstuff. Others learn, no, if that's your mama lach, then it'll be chayef even on a kol. Now, when you say you can cook something and then re-cook it, what are you talking about? You don't mind. Omrib Safra, I'm talking about cooking. I mean, really cooking. Like Reb Abbas Tarnagolta. Reb Abbas Tarnagolta was a disaster. They used to keep that thing cooking for days on end. And it would sit there. Now, nobody normal would eat this because it basically turned into mush. It was Tarnagol mush. There was nothing left of a recognizable Tarnagol. The only reason you ate this was if you had stomach problems and so on. So this was a refuah that they would eat. And that, I mean, this is not, this is the ultimate in boiled chicken. And that he would reheat on Shabbos, says Reb Safra. Well, I can tell you, man, I once stopped in Reb Abba's place, huh? And I ate some of it. And I'm telling you, I would have sat there at the meal vomiting for the next 20 minutes if Reb Abba hadn't seen that I turned green. And he was Ashken Chamra Bat Plata Tarfi. He gave me this powerful wine. And he gave it to me right there, eat nasi. I couldn't have held it in. It was absolutely sickening. And Rabbi Yochanan, when you would even mention kutach ha-bavlitim, which the bavlim, that's all they eat. They dip everything in kutach ha-bavlitim. You would say the word kutach ha-bavlitim to Rabbi Yochanan, they would start spitting. Now, Rabbi Yosef thought that that was highly insulting to Bnei Bavel. I mean, to go to just start spitting at the very mention of their primary foodstuff.
This is an MRI
food, right? Omer Rabbi Yosef, what? If Rabbi Yochanan is going to spit on us Bavlim from Kutach HaBavli, I suggest that we spit about the mention of Tarnagul to the Rabbi Abba and Eretz Yisrael, because that seems to be infinitely more disgusting than Kutach HaBavli. And I can tell you one thing, it isn't even true that the people back at Israel don't like Kutach HaBavli. As a matter of fact, it happens to be that Rav Gaza once, and they called him that for a reason, he once came over there and he wanted to show them Kutach HaBavli, okay? He made some Kutach HaBavli for them. So he went, Vavadit Kutach HaBavloi, She'ilu minei kol brichei ma'arava. People were waiting in line. Of course, they were all ill. But brichei means sick people. But they were all waiting in line to get some of this stuff because it was just a fantastic panacea, basically, for anything that ails you.
Is that like that English black stuff?
Yeah, that, what do they call it? Marmite.
Marmite.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Marmite.
Marmite. Kol shelo bad. Now listen, there's a lot of people listening out there who are not going to like it. They're going to say, let's mention that American Coca-Cola. So, kol shelo bad, I mean, but if you didn't and you, if it wasn't cooked before and now you wash it off, so then it would be like bishul. What would be the din? If it would be like bishul, we're talking about a d'oraisa d'rabbanan. I'm Rav Yosef. You wash off those herrings, you chayav achatas. Omer Margaret Ravina, afanan nami tanina. It's, I mean, read the words. It says, chutz b'maliach yashan v'kuyas ha'ispanin, shahadach hatan zohi gemar malachtan. What do you think that comes to say? Well, that's what it's saying. That's that thing. Chutz from them. The reason it's chutz from them is because that is indeed the final stage of their cooking. It's telling you that it's a real malacha. Now, Reb Yochanan, and this is why Richie always admired Reb Yochanan was sitting and sleeping. So Yosef Reb Yochanan would come in namnim. It's not that he was completely sleeping. He was menamnim, which is Richie sleeping. In other words, he can always say over the last couple of words, okay. Now, Reb Chia Bar Abba and Reb Asi are sitting there talking in front of Reb Yochanan, and Reb Chia Bar Abba asks Reb Asi, why is it that chicken, U.S. chickens, are so much better than the Israeli variety? Omar le, klach lemidbar aza verek shmeni me. You come out to Gush Katif, I'll show you what real chickens are. Okay, so in other words, it's better in Eretz Yisrael, you just don't have the good kind of Eretz. Yeah. Mibnei ma moadim shebebavel smechim. So why is it that, I don't know, I'd always feel so much happier, you know. In America, they know how to celebrate a yontif. I mean, over here, I don't know, there's always something unhappy. Says that's what they shame on him. They're so poor over there, they keep everything. They have one celebration a year on a yontif, you know. So that you feel the difference. They save everything up for yontif. You know, it's just wrong. You live high all year. That's why. Can't tell the difference so much. So, why is it that the rabbis and chutzlars always look tip-top? I mean, beautiful clothes, Armani shoes. I mean, around here they look like a bunch of slobs. Can you explain that to me? That's because of Vishayna B'nai Taira. They're not real B'nai Taira over there, so they have to show that they have something so they get better clothes, you know? But around here where they're truly B'nai Taira, so then what do you want? Mibnei ma ovdei kochavim mizuamim. And how come Arabs smell so bad? Mibnei sha'ochlin shkatzim v'rimashim. They eat disgusting things. Now at this point, Rabbi Yochanan woke up and said, Dardiki, little boys, how many times have I told you, keep your mouth shut when you don't know what you're talking about. Emor lachochma achoti at. What is it saying? Tell chochma, you are my sister. What's the that? Im barur lecha davar katchotcha, she asura lecha. Somebody ask you, am I allowed to marry my sister? You know what I mean? You know, so let me look it up, I'll get back to you. That's one thing you know. So if what you know the way you know that, amruah, then open up your mouth. V'imlav, lotom, I'm not interested in your baich sfaras over here. You're telling me all of these fancy sounding things. You're wrong on every count. This is clearly brought here because Rabbi Yochanan is now coming to the defense of Bnei Bavel. We said before Rabbi Yosef was angry that look at the way they treat us. They said, and I was not spitting because of Bavel. I'm spitting because of disgusting food. And we'll see now that actually Rabbi Yochanan, some of his best friends maybe were Bavli. You know? So Amru Leh. So they said to him, okay, so if we're all wrong, so Leimalan Mar, why don't you tell me, Ezeman, tell me, tell us some of the answers. He says, okay, I'll tell you all of them. You're right. The Ofot and Bava happen to be better quality. You know why? Without a galut, things you get a chance to get fat and tasty and so on, when you're always being thrown out of your lives. So then you got to start all over again. Shinema. Sha'anan Moav minu urav, v'shaketu el shimarav, u'bagola lo halach. And how does it end? Alkena mata amobo. That's why it tastes so good. So in other words, something that has not been disturbed indeed gets better.
Is he saying that our
food is diluted on them? U'bagola lo halach. That's why. V'hachem inol under galu. How do we know that our chickens went into galut? Maybe the chickens remained behind when everybody else went into galut. No, they went into galut just like we did. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, 52 shana lo avar ish Yehuda. 52 years, the land of Yehuda remained completely empty. Shneemar, al harim mesavchi vanehi. V'alnaot midbar kina, ki nitztu mivli ish over, v'lo shamu kol mikne, me'ofa shamayim, v'ad behema, nadadu alachu. That means even the animals, even the birds of the sky, desolation was absolute and complete for 52 years. I don't know 52 years, because ad behema, behema is begematria 52. Now, as Tosis points out, we don't need the word behemah to tell us 52 years, because in fact it was 52 years, as any idiot knows. Because from the time of the galut of Tzidkiyahu until the time that they came back to start building the Beit HaMikdash with the Koresh proclamation was exactly 52 years, because it was 18 years prior to the Shimim Shana of Bava, which is why all of the kings had made the mistake, and why the Belshazzar had made the mistake, and all Gemara in Megillah, why Achashverosh had made the mistake. So 18, take 70, 18 from 70, 52. And that's what happened. The reason, therefore, that says, okay, it's Tamei Gematria B'Amah. Rashi apparently is not learning that that's the pshat. Rashi says b'dovri, he says b'pashtos, that of course was 52 years, he makes the cheshbon, why was it 52 years? The behema he does not use to tell me that it was 52 years. Rather, he tells, uses the word behema for the next piece. Omrav Yaakov, Omrav Yochanan, kulam chazru chutz mikulias haispani. Every single one of the species that had been in Eretz Yisrael made their way back to Eretz Yisrael after the Churban, 52 years later, and they re-established themselves in Eretz Yisrael, except for the particular fish called Culias Hispanin, which I know there is now an effort at reintroducing Culias Hispanin into Eretz Yisrael. I just saw a big article about it.
What is it?
Do you know what it is?
Yeah, they identified the Kulias Hispanum. Where did I see it? Did you
see it?
You said it.
It was from the one from Iran. It somehow came here from Iran. This is the one that tastes like pork. Right?
That's Shavuti. That's not Kulias Hispanum.
It's different. Was it
Kulias Hispanum? Okay.
It's called Spanish mackerel.
Spanish mackerel.
Right. Yeah,
I mean, Richie will tell you it's spratz. That's what
it's called. So it's a different story. So the one that we're turning was the one
okay.
That's like pork.
So now, the reason that they never got back to Eretz Yisrael was because they couldn't make it. As you know, those salmon, the way they jump up, well, in order for them to get back from Bavel, they're going to have to go upstream. These are weak fish. It's got a weak spine. You take a look, does not have an ability to go upstream. And because of that, it was unable to make it back to Eretz Yisrael again. But it's only in Iran. So, as far as the other question you asked, I'll tell you why. They are happier. They're happier in Bava. You know why? Because they weren't included in the Klala of Hoshea, where it says over there, Vishbati, Kol Misosa, Chaga, Chodsha, Vishabata, the Kol Moadea. Didn't God say that He's going to make our Moadim miserable in Eretz Yisrael? He never said He's going to do that to Chutz La'aretz. So, you know, I mean, Chutz La'aretz people are relaxed, they got nothing to worry about, Yom Tov is happy, they don't think about Park Hotels blowing up for the Seder, and so on and so forth. And indeed, it says, Chodshechem u'mo'adechem sana nafshi, ayu alai l'torach. What's the Pshat? My ayu alai l'torach. What's the Torah? Amre b'lazer, Amre HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's bad enough that Klal Yisrael sin like this. But yet they drive me crazy, because now I've got to figure out how to punish them. I mean, it's not bad enough. So therefore, lo dayin l'Yisrael shechotim l'fanay, shemitribatachim otar, oti leidai zigzerek asha aviyalei, and I've got to figure out how to punish them too. On Rav Yitzchak, you notice there hasn't been a single yontiv that we didn't have the cops coming to Tzipori. Always the tax collectors are coming on yontiv. I ask you, why is that? The Romans aren't that sensitive to yontiv. It's the curse. And Rabbi Chanina says, "Ein lecha kol rega v'rega shlo ba l'tveria." Anytime it's yontiv, there you go. The Agamons, the Kamatons, the Baal Zemora, they've always got the traveling circus of the Roman court system. As far as the other question, it's not because they're not B'nai Teira, it's because they're Einan B'nai Mekoma. Because they are not locals, they have to dress nice. The Amre Inchi, because people say, B'mata Shamoi, in my own town, my name is what defines me. Below Matam, people don't know me. Tutboi, I gotta dress up. They see me dressed to kill. They figure I must be a very important, high class, rich somebody that you better pay attention to. Or would he be wearing these clothing? So, okay, so if people know you, what do you got to waste your money on clothing for? But over there in Bubba, nobody knows you. And the meaning, as a matter of fact, you want to talk about the Talmidei Chachamim Shebubba, that they're not B'nai Teira. It says, Haba'im Yashresh Yaakov Yatzitzu Farach Yisrael. What is it referring to? This is referring to Talmidei Chachamim Shebubavel. Those who are coming, they are coming from Yaakov that came to Bavel. They will be Yishareshu. They will take root there. Yatzitz V'Farach. They are going to make Tzitzim Uprachim L'Teira. You'll see that the Teira ultimately is going to be mostly a Bavel creation. What's the tzitzim uprachim? That raises a shaila. Some say tzitzim uprachim indeed means all of the lumpus, which is really not important, but it's decorative. So decorative, it attracts people to Torah. And then when they mature, they get to the real thing. But meanwhile, you do something attractive. So that they're excellent at in Babel, the same way they have the pretty clothing thing. They clothe the Torah also in tzitzim uprachim. Mipnei ma oveko chavim izuamim. Why is it that the Arabs smell? Shalom du al har Sinai. That's the point. Shibisha'a shaban nachash al chava. We know that when the nachash was Mapil Chava, it says Adachash Ishiani. Ishiani is a Loshram Nisuim. So actually, the Nachash raped Chava. He killed Bazuama and he brought into her system something that was disgusting for the animal kingdom that made people animal-like. And therefore they smell like animals. So Yisrael sha'amdu al Har Sinai paskazu humata. Klal Yisrael stood on Har Sinai. Anyone who stood on Har Sinai lost that part. Ovdei kochavim sha'amdu al Har Sinai lo paskazu humata. Amalei Rav Acha b'rei d'Rava l'Rav Ashta, what about Gerim? How come Gerim don't smell? Amalei afa gav v'inu lo habi mazlayu habi. Even though the Gerim themselves weren't there, but their essence was there. Techtiv. Et asher yeshno po imanu omed hayom lefnei Hashem Elokeinu, v'et asher einenu po, as we have the psukim that we're reading now, starting Mincha Shabbos. So
it connects to this idea.
Uplig the Rebbe Bar Kahana, Dom Rebbe Bar Kahana. Actually, Rebbe Bar Kahana says Chas v'Shalom that Jews had Zuama up until the time of the Bar Sinai. It was only three generations from our Avotenu that took to get rid of the Zuama. Ad shlosh dorot lo paska Zuama Avotenu. Abram had Yishmael, obviously that's where his Zuama got into there, and Yitzchak had Esau, but Yaakov only Yud Beis Shvatim, Shlohaya Bem Shum Dofi. So from the time of the Yud Beis Shvatim, no longer was Zuama Shalit over Yisrael. Shavua Tov. And the Enetam is by a frost, some claim, whereas others say that Enetam is right here in Liftah.
Mm-hmm.
A place in Barnea's neighborhood. But explain to us why Liftah can't be the right location. Barnea claims that Liftah is not 23 amas higher than the place where the Beit HaMikdash would be. You know that? Because that was the whole point of identifying
it. I don't see how it can come over the hill with lots between here and there.
You don't.
Where Sarai Chevron are higher. Sure. And Herod used them to bring water. He used it.
Mm-hmm.
Or the spring.
Underwater connection.
All right. Anyway, we'll let you say your Kaddish. It's almost time for us to go for our sleepers. We can make our own sweet. You all want to get another hour. Another hour.
11:35.